We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Good vibes, Ben.
Afternoons on the Score.
Yeah, I think he felt some stiffness. You know, he still got his work in, and during the work, you know, he was honest about, and like yesterday, you know, he just felt some soreness, and so they went and checked him, and they found he had some fluid in the area, and it was drained, and so he's on the IL. But somebody, either was a medical doctor or a trainer, has got to explain why we are where we are with him. I just know the comments that have been either written or said to me, but I got, you know, the thing that you scratch your head, you know, it took him a long time to come back for the spring training one. So we really felt, you know, that once we got him back, and if we were careful with him every other day, like, that we would keep him back. And that didn't work, so gotta get him well.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
That was Tony La Russa on Adam Engel. And we were talking earlier with Lawrence about when do you buy? Do you get to be the first one in the market? Do you prioritize infield depth, outfield depth, but not looking good or sounding too good about Adam Engel?
Yeah, it was troubling to see Engel go back on the injured list yesterday. Very same hamstring. So did he come back too soon, or did he not? Did it just rear its ugly head again because of something that happened? Either way, as you try to figure out when you'll get him back, it's very tricky when it's the same injury. I know Tony talked about that. Is it 10 days for Adam Engel or more?
You know, for the moment that he was going on the IL, an amateur's guess, you know, it's hard for me to see that 10 days from now he'd be good to go, because he's got to get it well, and then he's going to have to build it up and be very certain. I don't know how that can happen in 10 days.
So, yeah, man, you
can't. So you're a couple more weeks away from Engel.
At least. And it's already a recurring problem, so how can you count on that?
Sure.
And you've got the Eaton issues, and obviously you're waiting on Robert. And, man, I think time is now for outfield depth. With that bit of perspective added into it and knowing what you're hoping for Eloy, but even then you don't feel great about Eloy in the outfield. I think time is very actively now for outfield depth.
The thing is that the schedule is easy between now and the All-Star break, and you still have a comfortable lead, and you're still much more talented than Cleveland, and their schedule is very difficult, and the market hasn't really started yet. So time is now is relative. I get what you're saying, and I wouldn't be opposed to it, because they're clearly going to be buyers. I've just been struck by there have been so many different permutations of like versions of the White Sox roster. Mm-hmm. For a while, it was biggest need, right-handed relief pitching. Then it was biggest need, infield depth. And I know we debated that one, but for a while, that was at least considered some of the consensus. And then outfield depth. Like, it's always been they're good enough, they're going to buy. But if you're Rick Hahn, which one do you prioritize? I feel like at different points of the season, it's always been a different item.
Well, the thing is that Leury García is that great final piece of a bench who is both. He's both your outfield depth and your infield depth. If you go get outfield depth, then Leury García and Danny Mendick are your platoon second base, if you want to do it that way. Or at least, you know, that becomes your infield depth. I mean, if you want to go get infield depth, then Leury can be out there. But either way, he should be the back end of your bench.
Not the reliable, everyday, playing 5 out of 7 games type of guy.
But they could do either. They could absolutely do either because of Leury's flexibility and because Danny Mendick has actually shown you a little bit of outfield flexibility.
And also speaks because of the strength of schedule being so weak
headed into the All-Star break. They have this phenomenal cushion where they can continue to lean on Danny Mendick and Larry Garcia up through the break if they want to. But there have been some pretty substantial and trades made in June in baseball history that just because it's June doesn't mean you just get ahead of the market.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get it's there doable. Before anybody else dries up the offer.
You bet. And you're the clear and solid buyer, and there's a couple clear and solid sellers and some decent names out there. Decent names. Also, geesent, not really a word. You know, I love geese, but decent is really where I'm
of
going.
Of the descent of a goose.
Is geesent. Yeah. Yes. I believe.
Geesent.
Yes. Yeah, I believe that is accurate.
Geesent. Never smelled one up close. Not interested.
A goose?
Yeah.
Huh.
No.
I think they're phenomenal.
Well, you have. You've cooked them. But I mean like living, active goose who's been hanging around doing goose things.
Here's the thing about goose.
They're on
the
golf
protein.
Course.
Like, the protein goose is not that good. But what you get from roasting a goose is this beautiful fat that you can just spread on bread.
Oh, really?
And oh my God.
Is this why people love the goose liver pate?
Oh, yes. Yes. Goose fat is an unbelievable, beautiful tool in your kitchen.
Do you guys ever... Oh, sorry. I was going to ask you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful cooking tool.
I was going to ask Shane if you ever killed the goose and ate it the same day.
No, like Dwight? Like Dwight in that Christmas episode, he runs over the goose.
Have you done that, Adam?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. I had friends that hunted geese, so I went out with them one day. Uh-huh. We got one. We field dressed it right there. We took it to my friend's dad down the road. He cooked it up for us.
You're more manly than all of us all of a sudden. My God.
Wow. Did Shane just get out, man?
I think he did. I think Shane is a soft.
Let me be clear here. Yeah. I didn't shoot the geese. I was just there.
But you said field dressing it like you know exactly how that goes down.
I've killed rabbits in the field dressed it, and de-gutted the rabbits.
We got a man off.
It the same day. So I've retaken the top spot in the standings of man.
No, I don't think so. Over rabbit?
All right.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
Rabbit.
Sure, but wait, did you shot the rabbit?
Yeah, I shot the rabbit.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. That's pretty good.
And
that's
you were just there for the shooting of the geese.
Yeah. Cleaned the rabbit. Yeah. Cooked mm-hmm. the rabbit. Every stage. Yeah. I didn't birth the rabbit.
Okay. Well, let me try and top you. One time, we got a faucet for the kitchen that has the thing where you can pull it down so you can use the sprayer in the double-sided sink. I installed that thing myself.
Wow.
All by myself.
Really good, man.
With at least 40% of my wife's help. Maybe 50%. Good. Probably pretty much an even split. But how am I doing on the man off here?
You're on the board. You're in the top three. We'll see if I can knock you off the podium.
All right, what do you got?
One time, I had a flat tire.
Okay.
And when I called AAA, I gave them the spare in my trunk.
Oh, you did, huh?
That's big.
That's large. You knew where the spare was and how to get it out of the trunk.
I was able to find the spare in my trunk.
To be fair, they would not have been able to put the spare on if you didn't give it to them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what they said legally.
Welcome to fourth place, you know?
Fourth place?
I mean, good for you.
Okay.
Right now,
I got another one. I don't know if this is going to come off as just manly or maybe somewhat weird, but it's considering where
brand.
I grew up. So once there was my buddy hit a deer once. The deer died, and my other friend we went to help my buddy out and make sure he was okay because he had just left us.
Hmm.
My other friend who was a hunter, he's like, I can use this deer as coyote bait. So I said, okay, let's throw the carcass in my trunk.
Coyote?
That's how you know you're from the sticks.
Yes.
They say coyote.
Yes, coyote. Yeah, it's coyote.
What is happening?
So we took the deer.
I think I'm the first Jew Adam ever saw.
You are very exotic. To chew in the wild.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
Sorry, go ahead.
What's a Jew? Yeah, so we took the deer carcass and we threw it in my trunk and drove it over to my other buddy's house and left it there for him.
All right, so raise your hand if you've ever had a deer carcass in your trunk. Adam is the only one. Oh, really? Shane?
Of course. Yeah, pick up trucks back in the day. Sure.
Okay.
My God, damn it. These guys are locked in a man-off.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Hey, speaking of Jews, on this day in 1941, Nazi Germany began a massive invasion of the Soviet Union.
Can we go a day on this sports radio show without talking about the Holocaust? Can we go one day?
Well, in Jane's defense, that's not
tomorrow.
A Holocaust story.
Tomorrow. I'm going to give you that tomorrow.
No, we'll bring it up.
No. During the radiothon, I pledge to you. That's my gift. I'm not going to donate any money, but I'm going to pledge to you to have a Holocaust-free radio show.
We'll get it in before 9 a.m. Yeah, we'll call Molly and Haw tomorrow, 7:40.
Just prank him with it. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, what would Herman Goring do with the Bears offense? You know,
it's
something like that.
Outrageous what's happening here. Okay, so have you ever shot a gun?
I have never shot a gun.
Oh, okay. I've shot many 22 rifles before.
So you haven't shot a gun then?
That's the only gun that I've shot.
It's technically a gun.
Yeah,
but,
technically a gun. It's a flesh wound. But I
don't even let my son play first-person shooter video games.
Oh, did I just take over third place? I love Grand Theft Auto and GoldenEye. My son can't play them yet, but I absolutely will.
Are you going to let him play first-person shooter games?
Yeah. I mean, not when he's six, but I mean, when he's old enough, like nine, that'll be fine.
Yeah. Ruben's nine now. I'm still not interested in letting him. Although now he says that he's not interested in ever shooting a gun, but, you know.
Sure.
I don't know if the science backs me up or not. I don't care.
I started playing Grand Theft Auto when I was 10. I turned out all right.
Finishing tied for first in a man off with Shane.
At the score,
yeah.
I don't know.
Witnessed your first Jew in your 20s.
No, I think I knew a Jewish person growing. I did, actually. I knew a couple Jewish people.
Okay. See, there you go. And you never hunted them, right?
Progress.
No,
did you ever have one in the trunk of your car?
No.
It's good. Shane in the back of a pickup truck?
No.
Okay.
All right, so what's the biggest animal that's been shot by a member of this show?
I've never hunted outside of the rabbits.
Okay, yeah, I've never shot an animal.
Oh, okay, so the biggest animal I've personally shot would be a raccoon.
Okay, that's not very big.
It's not very big. Where was
that? Coyote.
Is that in the city?
Oh, no, it was in my friend's barn.
Okay.
The raccoons were killing his cats, so we decided to take them out.
Friends with barns.
Raises him up.
Raising him up on the man-off?
Yeah.
The manometer.
Barns is a quality of a man. Mm. Anybody can have a barn.
How many friends do you have with barn?
I don't know if I have any. I don't know if I have any friends with Barnes.
It's not enough. I need more. Sounds like a valuable resource.
I'm sorry for taking this in a space that isn't at who the White Sox should acquire.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it immensely.
I don't know how we got here.
Where are you from?
I grew up in Petersburg, Illinois.
Where is Petersburg? Is it near Coal City?
Petersburg. No, it's much further south than Coal City.
It is.
Yes. So. Okay. So I grew up half an hour north of Springfield. It's the middle of nowhere.
Got you. So if I were to make some of the old Shep jokes that I used to make about him walking around Coal City with a banjo on his back, that joke about you...
Shep thinks he is country. No. Let me tell you. Coal City is the city compared to where I grew up.
Population 2,500?
Yeah, that's about right. That's actually less than what it was when I grew up there. The sign in town says 3,200.
People are leaving?
Yeah, I don't know why.
that's surprising to me.
Well, that's just in the proper city area itself, and then, you know.
No, I know how populations are. Yeah, generally. Yeah.
Like I didn't grow up. I wanted to clarify. Like I didn't live in this in Petersburg. I lived 10 minutes outside of town.
Petersburg was the main hub of where you were.
Yes. Okay. And then there was, if you wanted to do anything that's, you know, actually worthwhile, you had to drive 30 minutes to Springfield.
Got it. So you had a lot of fun at the Sangamon River?
At the Sangamon River? Did you just Google Petersburg?
Yeah.
Yes, sure. We did. It we sure did does. Go down to the river
Guys,
sometimes.
Did you know that Danny knows how to use the internet? Listen, I'm going to take this back to Starling Marte.
There's one, if you want to know Thank more, you. There's one stoplight in the whole county that's in the middle of Petersburg.
Don't really want to know more. Okay, I'm going to be honest.
You're done?
Yeah, right. I think I'm good. I think I'm good on Petersburg. Listen, studs, as I expertly take it back to Starling Marte. You ready? Starling Marte angered some people on social media when he reshared a video of someone shooting a mouse on a fireworks rocket.
I saw that. Are you sure that he reshared a video? It wasn't him actually doing it?
No, I'm told that it was a reshare.
Oh, you're told.
I'm told. So yeah, no, I don't know. Was it him? But it was a video of someone shooting a mouse on a fireworks rocket with laughing crying face emojis going along with it. So that's different. Right, guys? Right, men? Man off men? In terms of, like, you shouldn't do that to a mouse. Attach a mouse to a firework.
Why does it matter? We produce, like, a million new mouse every day. Mice.
That's just population control.
Oh, wow.
You shouldn't launch a mouse on a firework.
That's freaking cruel as hell.
No, it's not. Who cares?
Oh, who cares?
The mouse?
The mouse freaking cares. Mouse,
dude. Chill.
What about the mouse? What about the mouse's family? No,
they don't have feelings.
What? What?
It's ridiculous.
They don't have feelings? No, of course they have feelings. They don't have necessarily emotions, layered emotions, but they use mice to test human things on them because their body chemistry works very similar to ours.
Good. We should continue testing on mice. God.
Petersburg was damaged by an earthquake in 1909.
I tried to take it to Starling.
You tried to take it to Starling Marte, and now Shane's advocating animal abuse.
It's a mouse.
Yeah, no, that's a first step.
Fire,
man.
I don't care.
That's a first step. That's a first step in becoming a serial killer.
Yeah. No, for sure. The meat.
Don't freeze.
I appreciate Danny coming in with Petersburg facts.
Again, the internet. It's an amazing place.
I actually didn't know that about the earthquake. Thank you for informing me about my hometown.
I got to go to the Sox game, by the way.
Good. Get us fired before we get out of here. John Morosi, who will be the first team to buy? What's the biggest need for the White Sox? What the hell's going on with the Cubs? Baseball conversation, though he also always has takes to derail us.
Yes, and I want to know what the biggest animal he has ever shot is.
We'll lead with that. John Morosi next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, John boy, how's the weather?
John Morosi.
Hello to a new adventure. Living my life in Michigan, my home state, surrounded by family and friends.
Columnist for MLB.com.
I usually am optimistic, right? That's not necessarily a surprise on your part, right?
MLB Network Insider.
That's an excellent thought there.
John, all of my questions are excellent, okay?
Great question. Again, another great one. They're all great.
Fox Sports Baseball contributor.
Fox Sports Baseball God, John Paul Morosi.
I'm a God, not the God.
John Morosi.
I'm so happy, I can't lie to you. It's the best moment of my life. All the fans who are here supporting me, it means the world.
John Morosi with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. JP, how's it going today, my friend?
I am outstanding, and to further accentuate the presenting sponsor of this segment, I am actually in Las Vegas right now.
Wow, I can tell by what's going on in the background. Where specifically are you?
I am at T-Mobile Arena. We are listening to the opening montage rehearsal of this evening's Game 5 between the Vegas Golden Knights and Montreal Canadiens. So I will not give away any secrets as to what the fans will see, but I am hearing the rehearsal, and I will tell you this. Earlier today, they had part of the rehearsal that naturally, when I'm in a quiet rink doing a segment on NHL Network, the rehearsal happens like mid-segment, and it's quite loud, and there's lasers and all kinds of fun things happening, and it makes me a little bit distracted. So that's really, I feel like my acuity and my ability to stay focused on my live segment with you is tuned up, because I've got to be that way here in Vegas.
That's awesome. That's awesome that you can do that. It's a skill set that we know you have. It's why you were such a good hitter. You were able to tune out all distractions and just deal with the at-bat at hand. Right, John?
Well, the at-bat in my illustrious career on the junior varsity in college playing second base. But I will say this. I hope that I thought you were going to go with that and say that it showed up in my ability to shoo away my child during our most recent conversation when she came in the middle of the conversation and I had a few Italian phrases and then she left. And by the way, did I not tell you during that conversation Italy was going to be great at the European Championships? May I remind you, 3 wins from 3, not a goal conceded. They are the favorites, my friends.
John, I have to be honest with you. I'm not as much of a professional as you. I am distracted and it's very, very loud in the background. So can we reschedule for another time? Will that offend you?
I guess. Well, wait. Is it fading away yet? Can you hear me now? Fine. Is it okay?
There's a laser show going on in the background, John.
But one does not hear a laser show. One sees a laser show.
That is true.
That is a fair point.
That,
all right.
That is accurate.
Let me ask you this: are both Ketel Marte and Starling Marte on the trade block, and if the White Sox could get one of them, which one should they get?
Now, that is, of course, the first excellent question of this segment. I would say if you can get one, you would get Ketel Marte. He's the more dynamic player. Arizona certainly is in a selling position. The Marlins are, too. I think Starling is more available, because the Marlins have a greater number of outfield prospects coming up, and they are, I think, certainly looking for that maybe shorter-term move. Ketel Marte is under control for longer, but if you could get one, and if you could have your pick, when your farm system is as good as the White Sox is, I believe that you can make that move and get Ketel Marte from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
So it's interesting that you say as good as they are, that their top four prospects who are in the top 100 have all either graduated or gotten hurt. They have no top 100 prospects right now, but is the perception that the farm system is still good? And who is it? Jared Kelly, Gavin Sheets, guys like that?
I would say Sheets and Kelly. I think those are two names that I would mention as being strong possibilities. I mean, it's not an elite farm system. It's not like Tampa Bay with Wander Franco coming up today and all the excitement there. But I do think it is good enough. And for a team like Arizona that so desperately needs to hit another competitive window in a couple years, because for Arizona's purposes, they are nowhere close to being as good as the Padres or the Giants or the Dodgers. And so when you're at that position and you're starting a longer-term rebuild, I think then it makes a lot more sense for them to get the lower level guys. And I believe that, obviously, as you mentioned, Sheets, you could then add in a couple lower level prospects that I think would make a package more appealing from Arizona's standpoint.
Single biggest need for the White Sox at the deadline or before is what?
So that's an interesting topic here. Okay. And here's why I say this with respect to the White Sox. When you look at Cleveland's injuries of late, and how many issues they've had with their pitching, I think the White Sox can make a move looking towards October. I would say right now I'm about 99.9% sure the White Sox win the division as presently constructed without even having to make another move. I think you add in, if you could wave a magic wand, biggest need for them, I still think it's a center fielder who can move around the diamond. That's why Marte for me fits. Ketel, I'm not as worried about the pitching side of things because I believe that when they can swing Kopech into a different role, you're able to make that happen. Is the background noise really bothering you guys that much?
It bothers me.
We're imagining.
It doesn't bother anybody else. It bothers me.
Right there, it got me. As the music swelled, I was picturing you rising up through a hole in the stage.
Up. Yes.
It sounds like a George Lucas production.
Right. You're in front of a giant clamshell rising up through the stage.
I'm taking this occasion to give you an explanation as to what a Vegas Golden Knights pregame show sounds like. It sounds like this.
But
it
I don't like, care.
I know you don't care. But guys, I'm like running around. So here's what I'm trying to do. You're listening to a live production of Morosi trying to scramble around an arena and also obey the various COVID protocols I've been given from the National Hockey League.
Right.
So as I say, I'm doing the best that I can, guys.
We
I'm
know
doing
you
the
care.
Best that I can.
It's not
we know
a question
you care,
of that.
And your connection actually sounds great. The problem is the arena pregame show rehearsal.
Hey.
We talk to you twice a month.
Hey, and if you don't mind, John, if you could put either Siegfried and or Roy on the phone, that would be great. Or a lion.
Yeah, Jesus.
I will do that. Guys, I would just say this. This is bad luck. It's bad luck. Now granted, I will say this. Like our conversation, whenever it ends, and hopefully it goes more than the next 30 seconds, but whenever our conversation ends, the music's going to stop. like that is, you could take that to the bank. The music is going to stop as soon as I hang up the phone.
All right, take a chance. Just tell us what's happening. Just so I don't have to watch the hockey game tonight. Just paint us a picture of the pregame show because I won't be watching.
Okay. So I'll fill you in here.
So
like, what happens is they tell a story about how there originally were six knights of the round table. You know, the original six. And that there was a seventh brave knight. Oh, and just as I'm telling the story, it started to fade.
Yeah, stop so screaming in an empty arena, you crazy
Lancelot,
person.
There was Lancelot, Galahad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then so basically the idea is that there were six original knights and that there wanted to be a seventh knight, and that was the Gold Knight of Vegas, and that the five of the original six knights, including the one representing Chicago and Detroit, so we're clear, we're good, they were allowing the seventh knight to come in. But it was the Montreal knight who said no. And then when that happened, then they had to come back, and now this is the challenge now, centuries later, of the Vegas Golden Knight coming to challenge the Montreal Knight for the supremacy of the round table.
This
That's
and
amazing.
That's what happened to the pregame show in Vegas. I'm just telling you, you only get that information from me, okay? And that's what I can tell you.
So I mean, we're talking about what, the 12th century?
Oh yeah,
and this
it's
relates
been a few centuries.
Yeah,
the Vegas Golden Knight crowd is very in tune with history. Okay, they've been around a long time.
Wow, big King Arthur guys.
Someone on Twitch wonders if any of these knights can play right field.
That's a good question.
Can any of them play right field? Now, that's an excellent question. And for me, and this is where I look at the White Sox season as I'm now enjoying the quiet around me for a moment until the next rehearsal begins. But if you were to tell me that the White Sox would lose three stars and still be in as strong a position as they are right now, I mean, that is a tribute to how good their pitching has been and how good, obviously, number of the rest of their everyday players have been. I mean, I am impressed. Anderson, Abreu, and of course, you know, who knew that Mercedes was going to come on and do what he's done. But I think that overall there's a lot to like about this team. And while I would be worried about the corner outfield spots and the Vegas Golden Knights, et cetera, there's a lot to like about the White Sox as they are right now.
There was a strong point made by John Morosi while David Copperfield was performing a magic trick in the background, and that was that the Cleveland Indians, with all their pitching problems, are so out. Aaron Civale going to be gone for quite some time, in the words of Terry Francona, so the White Sox can deal with October in mind. Happy Sticky Stuff Enforcement Day to you, sir, yesterday. I don't know how you celebrated. Are we going to see any suspensions at all this week, or is everyone just going to play along and do the right thing?
I think that so far so good, right? I mean, this is going to be a day-to-day situation. And I do think this. I look at what David Ross said yesterday when he was asked about it. I think it was yesterday. That, okay, so how long has it been since the memo went out and the proviso was sent there about what everybody's supposed to do? And look, guess what? On base percentage has gone up. Slugging has gone up. Run scoring has gone up. It's had the desired effect. So it's going to be a day-to-day situation of, at some point in time, 2 or 3 weeks in, does a pitcher say, you know what, I need to get a little bit more of an edge here and get a little grip? And does he get unlucky and get checked? But it seems like right now, guys, everybody's getting checked. So your calculation on that, you're really tempting fate here, because basically everybody is getting checked, the starting pitcher, multiple times to start. I mean, for me, it's been enforced, I think, in a way that's been certainly a sideshow of sorts, but it has not been intrusive to the pace of the game and the way it's being played. That they're doing it when the pitcher's coming off the mound. I think it's been, for the by and large, a good way to enforce something that I think, to David Ross's point, is having the desired effect so far.
Is there an idea of a uniform substance going to be introduced that people can put on the ball if they want to?
I believe that's coming, maybe not this week, but I believe this is going to be part of the collaboration and the conversation between the union and MLB. It has to be. Because that, to me, and we heard Tyler Glasnow's comments, and I take those to heart. I mean, he's someone that's a very thoughtful person. And so I think you look around and say, there has to be a sort of uniform thing that you would put maybe on the back of the mound or have available in the dugout, that this is a substance that, through some miracle of engineering, which I'm not privy to, I'm not that smart, but that you'd be able to find something that gives you a grip without giving a substantial advantage, and that would be something that would be a uniformly agreeable substance for both the union and MLB.
John, do you know who Wander Franco's favorite players were when he was growing up?
My goodness. Yeah. So I have not yet seen his answer on this, but let me guess and say that it's someone like Miguel Cabrera or younger.
Manny Machado and Jose Ramirez. That's what he said.
We're getting older, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a young player. It's that does not surprise me in the least. I'm telling you, the game is changing. You got Vlad Jr. playing like an MVP. I think there's the game and the generations are moving on. And by the way, I think Ronald Acuna Jr.'s father was a teammate in the minor leagues of Jose Reyes. I mean, like, he's that young. So, I mean, we are, that's a true story.
Yeah.
So we'll have to go back and check that out. I mean, all of us are getting old. You guys still look young.
Thank you.
But I look very old.
I look a bit older after this segment.
Yeah.
You probably do. Well, which is further to Danny's point, that he thought I was easily 10 years older than I actually am. Like that to me is I love my intro that you guys play for me every time. But like the only thing that we have to squeeze in there for the next version of that is your absolute astonishment that I was not 50 years old.
Well,
that to me was like one of the all-time great moments on the show.
I want to see a birth certificate.
I think his thought process is understandable. You know why? Because you know so much about King Arthur's Knights of the Round
about
Table.
King Arthur's Knights of the Round Table, random facts from the 1800s. I mean, this is like, that's like my knowledge base. I mean, I couldn't tell you 5 quarterbacks in the National Football League, but random historical trivia, I could go on that all day.
All right, well, John, you are a friend of the show. You're a friend of the station. Tomorrow, we are doing our first radiothon since the 90s. We are trying to fund the construction of a grocery store in a food desert on the west side of the city called Austin Harvest in the Austin neighborhood of Chicago. It employs high school kids from the area. It's an amazing cause. And I am going to be broadcasting for a full 24 hours consecutively. You have a tremendous amount of energy. I'm curious if you have any advice for me making it 24 hours.
Caffeine is good, but not too much. Hydration is good. I would say you get some good potassium going. Bananas are important, but I think just in the breaks, you know, hydrate, and then maybe kind of like read little snippets of a book in between to kind of like keep the mind sharp, kind of keep your momentum going. A little bit of foreign language study in the breaks to keep the mind engaged.
Okay.
But yeah, the water's good. But I tell you what, Dan, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm out here in the West Coast. You call me anytime during that thing. I mean, I'm like up all these weird hours right now. You just call me. I mean, I'm probably going to be awake. So if you need somebody to help get you through, just call me, all right? I mean that sincerely. I mean, you call on me, my friend, anytime, all right? I mean that sincerely.
I sincerely appreciate that. I'll count on you for a tweet promoting it tomorrow. And enjoy Vegas. And this was one of the more – we have memorable conversations, John, every time. You're a weird dude.
I am.
And I love that about you. But this one will stand out. Thank you for the time today.
I mean, like, the soundtrack is still going behind me. Like, this is like the fifth rehearsal. I mean, this is all technological. Why do you need to do it 5 times?
Yeah.
I love this. This is so good.
Thanks, John.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, give Wayne Newton our best. Thanks, buddy.
He was here the other day,
of course,
man.
He was.
Like, we're going to be fast friends. Yeah. I love it. This is great.
Not surprised.
Get out of here, Morosi. Leave.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All the
Thank you. Hey, all the best. Yeah. Oh, my God. My heart rate is up.
I was so damn anxious the entire time.
Me too.
Like, I had drank too much coffee in a very short amount of time. My heart was just going.
It felt good.
You can't concentrate on what he's saying.
Yeah.
Well,
I have no idea.
The guy, but damn.
I have no idea how that was consumed by the audience.
I think it was pretty good.
You know?
Yeah, I think it was all right. Well, here's the bonus that we got. We got information that the Las Vegas Golden Knights have a pregame show in which they kill a Canadian knight. I mean, that's kind of exciting.
That's true.
And a texter says, well, let's go out and hunt Canadians now. Studs, go tell your cousin/wife that you'll be home late.
Yeah, I saw that. Listen, I grew up in the middle of nowhere. I'm not a hick. Okay.
You just played directly into the hick
no, I
thing.
Didn't. Yeah.
And now you're wanting to back away from it. I'm sorry.
No, yeah.
Take it all the way.
That text was warranted.
Okay, good. I'm glad we can agree. Piece of baseball audio from over the weekend that you said is too fun not to play. It's
yes.
Next on The Score. Well, that was memorable with John Morosi. You had a memorable hit and run on Father's Day. And you said that this was too fun for us not to play on the show.
Yeah, man. I'd been wanting to have kind of just a chilled out conversation with Mike Bryant where we didn't talk like hardcore baseball stuff or like Chris's mental state too much. Just a relaxed Father's Day chat. Because Mike Bryant was Chris's dad, famously a minor leaguer in the Red Sox system. And the great Ted Williams was a hitting coach. And Mike Bryant drank it up, and it's the fundamentals of what he has taught to Chris, to Joey Gallo, to many other young hitters throughout the time. So I finally got a chance to ask Mike Bryant, just as you would say, tell me some Ted Williams stories.
Well, the main thing was the first thing he said on the very first day that I met with him. And first of all, I didn't say a word for 10 days to him. I just listened. Sure. I was scared and intimidated by the man. He was he was so rock solid about everything that he said. But the first, you know, and rock solid, sure, about everything he said. He looked at me and this other guy that was there. There was just me and this other guy. I don't even remember the guy's name because I was so mesmerized with Ted. But he goes, we're going to learn how to do two things. We're going to learn how to hit it hard, and we're going to learn how to hit it in the air. That's the number one thing that stuck out, and I say that to this day. And then he started talking about the mechanics and how to do it, how it was a slight upswing, the bat's in the zone longer, da-da-da-da. You know, don't try to put backspin on it. It's a naturally occurring phenomenon. You know, everything that you've heard, knob to the ball. No, he wasn't talking knob to the ball. He was talking knob to the hat, you know, right to the pitcher's hat. The pitcher's up elevated in the air, you know, 10 inches. Back then when he was playing, it was 18 inches. They're throwing downhill. If you swing down at the ball, you're just going to chase the thing right into the ground. That was a couple things. But, you know, and another thing, the most valuable thing that he taught me was – I got to the, it was 6 a.m. We were supposed to be down on the backfield four. And I was there at 5:45. I was the first one there. He's sitting down there with the batting practice pitcher. And he sees me coming down. He sees me on the bench, doesn't say anything for 30 seconds. And then he looks at me. He says, Brian, he says, you're effing late. And I said, sir. And he goes, if you're not a half an hour early, you're late. And he goes, and don't waste my effing time. And I'm like, I was like, okay, I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to listen. So 2 weeks later,
yeah,
I got called in. I was walking up from my workout in the backfields, and the AAA game was going on. It was dragging on because they were trying to get guys extra work. So, like, Brian, get out here. You're going to play a couple innings in right field. And I'm like, yeah. You know, I was an A-ball at the time. They put me in the AAA game. And I was the only one on the bench, and Ted was at the other end of the bench. And he's just sitting there, 5 minutes go by, and he looks at me. He says, Brian, tell me something about me that I don't already know. Oh. And I'm like, what the hell kind of question is that? So I said, all right, I remember one time when you were fishing up in Maine with three of your buddies. He goes, and you went out early to your spot. You had your hip waders on, you slipped on the rocks, and you grabbed onto the bough of a tree as your hip waders filled up with water, and you just hung there for about an hour. And your buddy showed up because they got too drunk the night before, and they saved your life, but you separated your shoulder because you're trying to hold up 500 pounds of weight. He's shaking his head, and he goes, yeah, it's amazing that I'm alive. And he goes, he says, you read that story in Field and Stream? I said, yeah, I'm a fisherman too. And he says, Brian, we're going to get along fine.
Oh.
After the game, I went right in. I got on the payphone. I called my mother. And I'm like, Mom, you won't believe what Ted just said to me.
That's awesome.
It was incredible. Probably forgot about me years later. He was six. He was my age at the time. He was 62 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he could still hit. He went out there and took BP. And, there's so many stories that, you know, in those couple weeks that I spent with him the first year, and then another 10 days with him the next year in spring training.
Wow. And taking BP at age 62. I love it.
And he was knocking them in the gaps, one off in the fence, oppo.
God, hitting opposite field doubles off the fence at age 62 for Ted Williams. That's the part I couldn't get out of my head. Wish I asked him more about that. Because, like, we see these stories, like, in spring training. Oh, Jim Thome took BP, and he hit a couple balls deep. 62-year-old Ted Williams hitting opposite field doubles.
That's ridiculous. I just like the part of meeting your heroes.
Yeah, man.
Right? Like, that part, we've all...
Relatable.
Like, in this line of work, I'm not saying we all in terms of the audience, but, like, in this line of work, you sometimes get that opportunity, and maybe it goes well, and maybe it doesn't, or maybe the person most often, in my experience with these sort of things, is the person who it is your hero, they try their best to, like, recognize that it means a lot to you,
mm-hmm.
but it means nothing to them. They hear it all the time, so it's very tough to have that genuine connection. It's really cool that he was able to percolate in it, like, spend some time with it, and then develop the relationship with Ted Williams. That was fun.
For sure. And then the fact that the philosophy that he took in.
You learned a lot from him.
Is still what he teaches. It's still what all these guys are following. Ted Williams, there's The Science of Hitting by Ted Williams that he wrote in the 40s. That is, I guess maybe it was the 50s, but it is the basis of what everybody's been doing over the past 15, 20 years. Hit it hard and hit it in the air. There are more hits in the air than there are on the ground, you know? And it's like, it doesn't mean you have to have this absurd launch angle and try to hit it super high in the air, but just hit line drives. Try to hit line drives and hit it in the air. It's like Ted was way, way, way ahead of his time.
Well, yeah, some things don't change. Like, that was just, at the time, he's a genius, right? And then the rest of the sports world eventually catches up to him. But it takes, what, decades?
Decades.
For them to figure it out.
To come around on it. Or maybe they tried and they couldn't do it, or... But yeah, no. For the most part, he was on it for sure.
But that's cool, and just the ability to, you know, if Chris Bryant's like, yeah, well, what do you know, Dad? Well, I did learn it from Ted Williams, right? I mean, it's kind of a I would imagine that would be kind of frustrating for Chris.
Yeah. The other thing that you would have appreciated from it, Danny, is that he still teaches fun, stresses fun, and that's what he always, and he told this story about Chris, how like when Chris was in Little League, he was the guy who played anywhere all over the field, and like one, the coach would say, hey, listen, Scotty wants to play third, so you play first today. Then the next day it's like, hey, Jimmy wants to play first, so you play left today. And Chris was like, okay, all right, just completely humble, didn't care. Same guy, still that guy, right?
Well, and I mean, it's kind of, I mean, I don't know what Scott Boras told him, but to be willing to do that in your contract year, maybe it's calculated and, hey, let me show the value to everybody else. But for the Cubs' purposes, it's selfless, right? Like, maybe it does benefit him, but I could see a lot of guys being like, I don't want to wake up every day not knowing where I'm playing in the field.
Yeah,
when I've got to produce, when I'm trying to make nine figures this offseason. That would be a totally reasonable thing for a star player to look for some continuity. But maybe they said, you'll actually make yourself more money if you do it this way. So his selfish interests align with the team's selfless ask. I don't know.
I think, you know, there's some guys, Cody Bellinger's like that, Max Muncy's like that, Chris Taylor of the Dodgers, Ketel Marte, who we're talking about, is that guy who can play a few different places.
Positionless baseball.
Yeah, exactly. And Bryant, he's just always been that guy. And he wants to be that guy. He likes it, and he likes what Zobrist did in doing that. So I think he's not too calculated about that stuff. He just wants to be a good baseball player and have a good time.
Well, there's plenty of baseball still to be played. These teams are not playing the best of baseball recently. Hopefully it turns. It's Parkinson and Spiegel on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.